Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On 95.7, The Game.
Morning, everybody. What's happening? Matt Steinmetz along with Dan Dibley and Nick Friedel today, who's in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. The Goo taking care of some family things. He wanted to make sure everybody understands things are fine. He's just got to take care of some odds and ends on the home front, Dibs. We always when Goo's in a good frame.
Yeah, you already pump-faked us earlier in the week with the tease, Nick, about, you know, some grim, harrowing news for something so close to Guru, and we come back to find out it's just his head gasket on the lack that went. So, yeah, you got to always clarify with the Goo. You had me on the edge of my seat, Steiny, this week.
Well, you know, it's funny because we spent a lot of time apologizing yesterday to maybe Andrew Wiggins, and I feel like I've said I'm sorry about three times for that one. But you know what? That was my bad. I butchered a tease, Nick, and I led Dibley to believe that Guru had something very serious, that he'd lost somebody close to him. But I didn't say something close to him, and so it led Dibs, I think, to believe that it was a person, and really it was just his Cadillac.
Yikes!
Big yikes!
Yeah.
As long as the Goo's good, we're all good, though.
Yeah,
that's right.
The Goo's good. The Cadillac's
Gone.
I got there first. Jockerty today, 12:48.
That's right. Yeah, Nick, you ready for Jockerty, man?
Today's my day. I'm going to make it today. I'm going to get past Dibs. I'm going to do it.
All right. Well, that's at 12:48 when we'll welcome in Whitey Gleason. Obviously, the big topic today is the NFL schedule, guys, and as it pertains to the 49ers. And, you know, before we get into some nuts and bolts of it, I'm trying to figure out why this is such a huge, huge day for football fans. Your opponents are known. You always are going to play teams in your division twice. And I guess it's like a chicken and egg thing here. Is the schedule release part of the reason why the NFL is just so big? Or is the NFL so big and that's the reason we get excited about the schedule, Dibs? So I'll start with you, but what is it? And I'm acknowledging it's huge.
Right.
And I'm just wondering why.
It's because of the nature of just 17 games and the fact that the order of the games matters so much. You know, it's an oddity that the San Francisco Giants play the Padres a bunch early and then not till September. That's curious. It's an odd thing. But where your games fall in the NFL schedule, where's your bye week? How many primetime games? There are so many different levels to it, so many layers. It's like a croissant, whereas the Major League Baseball schedule is just a donut.
A piece of toast, maybe.
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
I like it, Mr. Dibley. Steiny, I think the key is it provides structure for the future. I know yesterday the NFL schedule comes out, and my buddies, my roommates from college, I went to Syracuse. They're texting me instantly. They're going, hey, can we get to a Syracuse game and a Bills game in the same weekend? Can we do this in mid-September? I mean, we haven't pulled that one off before. And they wanted to find out when the schedule dropped because that's when they wanted to start booking their hotel reservations and their flights to Western New York. And they knew that there were only so few opportunities for us to come together. And I think that's why the NFL is king and has been for a long, long time, is because there are such small amounts of time and small amounts of games. Even with 17, everybody's going nuts about this extra game. There are only so many different times to see your team play. It happens once a week. Everything that you do around that week for a lot of people is structured around, where am I going to watch the game? Who am I going to watch it with? And to see when the framework of all that is going to come into place leads you to how everybody started to flip out last night when everything came down the way it did.
Yeah. And Dibs, for the people in the Bay Area who are curious, that's about a 2.5-hour drive from Syracuse to Buffalo, and it's just a little north – I'm sorry, just a little south of Rochester as you're going across upstate New York.
It's the fascinating thing about New York from my outsider's view is everyone thinks of New York as the Big Apple, but the five boroughs comprise about 3% of the geography of an otherwise largely forgettable state, much like the majority of Pennsylvania, quite frankly.
Oh, no.
Exactly. All right.
No.
All right.
But, that opening little two-step will bring the Niners to the great state of Pennsylvania, from Michigan to Pennsylvania in a two-game road trip. So feels right. Like it might be another run to the Greenbrier, Steiny, for the 49ers. Instead of coming all the way home from Detroit and then going all the way back to Philly, that feels like one of those classic Yorkian, I will put you up for a couple of nights, boys.
Yeah, and that's those are the first two games, as you said, Dibs. 49ers start on the road at the Detroit Lions, and then they play at Philly against the Eagles before coming home against the Green Bay Packers. And I just, the thing that always sticks out to me with the schedule, and it's funny because I don't go to away 49er games, but I do always look – because that's what I learned a few years ago. One of the reasons for the excitement, obviously, is now 49er fans and NFL fans can plan their road trips, essentially. And believe it or not, that hadn't crossed my mind up until a few years ago. So we're going to take a look at what's the best – where are you going on a road trip if you're going to the schedule? And I'll just start opening it up right now at 888-957-9570. For 49er fans out there, couple things. What sticks out about this schedule to you, if anything? Of course, it's a 17-game schedule now. And then, secondly, if you're a 49er fan who takes a road trip or two every year, what's the one that's slapping you in the face right here? What's the one where you're saying, that's the week, we're taking off work, and we're headed to that city to see our 49ers in an away stadium, which I always love that, too, seeing – that was one of the fun things I loved with the Warriors, when you cover the Warriors and seeing them in a different venue as opposed to – you always see the 49ers at home if you go to the games. But love to see your team on the road in a city. That's pretty cool, Dibs. Pretty cool.
It's not a great year for that, quite frankly, in my opinion, because you get your usual trio of Seattle, L.A., and Arizona, the aforementioned Detroit, which is – it's an underrated city if it's rated where most people have it, which is at the bottom. And then, a trip to Philadelphia is okay. You got Chicago, Jacksonville, Cincinnati. I think Tennessee's the winner. December 23rd, take the family, beat the Kwanzaa Rush, and get to Nashville for a game against the Titans. But not a great year for road city visits.
First of all, I don't think you really want to take the family to Nashville. That's a trip you want to make with your buddies for a couple of days.
Oh, I got grown kids, so.
Well, okay. All right. Well, then that's a little different. If everybody can drink, if they're legally able to drink, then Nashville is the place. But I looked at that Chicago trip, and Dibs, Chicago on Halloween. That is an underrated moment in time. If it were Chicago in November and you're freezing your you-know-what off in the middle of Soldier Field, Chicago the night before Halloween and then having Halloween there, that is a party.
Okay, I was a little scared by the lake effect wind, or is that Cleveland? All those cities. When it gets cold, it gets cold. I'm looking out for my weather check, and coming up at 10:48, I do weather for Spadoni and Kyle off air. But even this day today is a little chilly for my bones, Friedel.
Then you want to stay away from Chicago.
Okay. That's the only reason. Sure. I was a little bit hesitant. I saw late October, and I thought about that. But I had sounded a little chilly for me.
Now, the Lions game, at least, well, it's early in the year.
Yeah.
So that's an indoor game. But looking at the schedule, yeah, at Jacksonville should be okay. Weather-wise, they got the Colts at home. Yeah, that Bears game sticking out a little bit. Bengals later in the year.
Steiny, at some point today, I'll give you my Marlins man schedule. You know Marlins man,
yeah,
that guy who shows up at whatever sporting event whenever he wants somehow. Well, I put together an 18-week, if I were Marlins man, schedule. So if you want to dream a little dream with me, it's an 18-stop tour around this great NFL nation, or world, really.
So it's the NFL version of Jimmy Goldstein, essentially, the NBA fan who's at every single game,
right.
It seems like. Oh,
with a mix
fun.
Of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego thrown in.
Exactly. So that's okay, good. So we're going to have the 49er schedule covered, and we're going to have the NFL schedule at large covered. As Dibs goes into his Marlin man role, which is pretty cool. All right. Good stuff. We got a lot of good stuff today, too. We got Jockberty coming up at 12:48. We're definitely not forgetting about the Golden State Warriors. It is all coming down to Sunday. And the Memphis Grizzlies coming to town. And also, there's one thing I want to talk about just to make sure we don't talk about it at any point today or in the future. So that's what's coming up. You all know the number, 888-957-9570. That's a text or call, depending on your preference. What's sticking out with the San Francisco 49ers schedule? Does it make you think they could have a better year or worse year than you thought before you saw the schedule? And where are you going on your road trip this year, 49er fans, if you want to do that? 888-957-9570, and it's all sponsored by Network Capital.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring Nick Friedel on 95.7 The Game.
Man, how dumb am I? Actually, don't answer that. Don't answer that.
Am I so dumb?
I committed the I can't believe.
My co-host is so dumb. How dumb is he?
Yeah, where was that from? I forget.
I want to say Match Game, but
you got to Google it.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe
that's
you don't
three
have
decades
to
in the business right there, Mr. Dibs.
Thank
yeah,
you,
baby.
But anyway, you were saying, Steiny, something about your lack of intellect.
I did. Yeah, I did this. I've been looking at the schedule. I write it down so that I remember it better. I've got all these notes about games.
Oh, boy. Hold on, Steiny.
You ain't kidding, oh, boy.
I can't reach it. Kyle, would you please?
Yeah, no, I'll get it. Don't worry. Right. You guys keep doing your show. Hello.
All right.
Oh, hey. Yeah. No, I think... No, I got... Totally. No, I was expecting a call from you, actually. Yeah. No, he's fine. He's joking. Yeah, it's a bit. It's just a bit. Yeah. It was Kevon Looney. He was making sure that you didn't actually think you were dumb.
Oh.
Just looking out for you.
Nice. Good guy.
Very good. Very
great
good.
Guy.
We were talking a lot about Kevon Looney and his, oh, man, you had to be there, as the old saying goes. Anyway, I made the list, and I didn't, how about this? I didn't put the dates, the actual dates in.
Yeah.
So Friedel goes, Bears Halloween, and I was like, you're an idiot, Steinmetz, because I see Bears, but I forgot it was Halloween. You know what I mean?
Just
that's not a cardinal sin, but it's just a what is it, Dibs? It's just a
it's attention to detail is what it is.
That's what it is. You're right.
It's the little things, the little flourishes. And I thought you were going to say how dumb you were because you didn't notice that Nick Friedel shaved, which is a controversial shaving, by the way, for the boys behind the glass. Down on clean shaven Nick, according to sources.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the boys behind the glass and my mother who saw me tape something the other day. It says, if you don't get that beard back fast, I'm going to come over back out to California and knock you out.
Well,
been eating too many damn burgers.
It could grow back with that 5 o'clock shadow that early, though, Nick.
There's no doubt about it. I think I can say this with full confidence and hopefully without Friedel getting upset with me, although I don't know why he would. Dibs, and you and I understand this. Friedel's one of these guys that, yeah, he probably could shave twice a day. I gotta believe.
No doubt.
You know, he can grow a beard in about 6 hours, whereas I know 6 weeks, and I can't match what Friedel can do in about 6 days.
Steiny, there was a reason they called me Ogre in high school, and that was pre Shrek. Let it be known. So then Shrek came out, and oh baby, it was over. It was over.
And Dibs, our good friend Sal Castaneda, another gentleman on television who must shave every day.
Hirsute is the word. Hirsute or hair.
What is that? You know what? Is that what it means?
Yeah.
Okay. Dibs, just kicks. We know Friedel probably has got to shave every day if he wants to stay clean. What's yours about? If you want to stay clean, and I know you clearly don't right now.
Yeah, probably 3 days.
Yeah.
Every 3 days.
Yeah,
you know.
About 3 to 5.
Yeah.
3 to 5.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's something that I'm sure the Bay Area was interested in.
Wow.
So where do you guys want to start with the schedule? You want to start with overall impressions? You want to start with?
Let me give you just a couple of my overall thoughts, Steiny.
Perfect.
You can see how you feel about it. Couldn't have been a better start knowing that you're going to play at Detroit and Philadelphia. You knocked that out in one trip. Two pretty winnable games. Then your bye comes after week 5, which is maybe a titch early, but it's coming off of a few games against your division, so you could see the Niners being 3-2 at the minimum, maybe 4-1 going into that bye. And then when you look at the road stack from there, a trip to Chicago, which, you know, spoiler alert, I think it's on or around Halloween. I don't have the date in front of me. You do have a trip to Jacksonville in November, so you're not going to get too much heat and humidity there. You got Cincinnati in December, not terrible. And then the end of your season, I think, is not overly difficult. You do have the trip against the Titans, but otherwise an Atlanta team you should beat, the Texans who are rebuilding, and then it all comes down to that Ram game. I think the Niners' schedule order and the spots they have, not too many terrible spots for me.
What about the road games? They have 9 road games, 8 at home, it looks like to me. That's not right. That's not fair, Dibs. And I'm setting you up for your line. But that's not fair.
Right. And nobody said it had to be fair. And next year when they do 17 again, it'll be 9 home and 8 road. Nick was of the mind, just go to 18. Go to 18, schedule in 2 byes, make it a 20-week ordeal. I mean, no one's going to complain about having more football. 17 to me is way worse than 18 will be because of the odd number.
Well, guys, and it's like Goo said, the Cowboys can't go 8-8 anymore. That's the real tragedy here.
That's
17th
line,
game does not allow for the 8-8. But yeah, Dibs, I'm with you. Why not have 2 byes and get another regular season game in? The league is going to be happy because it's going to draw more money. And while the players may not want the extra game, the league's going to say, hey, we'll give you this extra boatload of cash to make it all work. So maybe that becomes what happens in the future. But for now, I looked at this Niners schedule and I went, if they stay healthy at a minimum, guys, it looks like they're 12-5. At a minimum, on paper, and that's a really slippery slope to start going down always when these schedules come out. But on paper, this isn't a scary schedule. They can handle business here. This team has talent, and if they stay healthy, they should be ready to roll.
They should be. They should be. And, of course, the 49ers, with what's being said right now, is the easiest schedule in the NFL. And there's nothing real daunting on there, to tell you the truth. I've always been I just don't know. And I guess money is the reason, but it can't be that much money. I've always been a Go to 18 games and eliminate the preseason. Have them come out week one just like a college team. It's your opener. You haven't seen – why? I just don't understand why that's not feasible, but that's the way I would like to do it. You know, when you see the Lions 49ers week one, you really don't know what to expect because you saw no exhibition games. Let's come out of the gate with an important game early. That's kind of the way I look at it.
I think two preseason games would work if you did the 18 and the 2. That way you could at least get a look as you try to go from 90 guys to 53. You know, it's the battle for spots 45 through 53 that you want to really get right, and you need to see these guys in action in order to do that. So I think you could accomplish both things, both ends to that. Another thing about the schedule, Steiny, is you only have one short week, and it's not till the end of the year where you've got the Falcons on Sunday, and then you turn around and you've got the Titans on the road on Thursday night. So that's one spot that's going to be difficult. And I kind of agree with Nick. At first glance, I thought 12-5 was about where they'd sit. I know the Vegas over-under is at 10.5. So 10.5 and 6.5 is the estimation. And I tell you, I like the over. 11-6. If you go 11-6 with this schedule, that's a good year. I think 12-5 is absolutely possible, and even better than that, depending on how things shake out health-wise.
Well, and Dibs, how about the, like you said at the top, I mean, that is the one of the best parts to me about this whole Niners setup. You get that long trip out of the way. You stay on the road for those first two games, and then boom, a chunk of your road schedule is gone, and then you come back and you see the Packers. So there's a lot to like, and there's reason to believe that if you handle what you're supposed to, you can get on the type of roll early in the year that's going to give you momentum heading into potentially the bye a few weeks later.
Yeah, and after you come home from that opening two-game trip, over the next 2 months, you only have one two-time zone journey, and that's the game that's in either late October or early November in Chicago. I haven't quite been able to find that date. I think it might be TBD. But you come home to Arizona, home to Chicago, and then home. That is your slate for the better part of 2 months. So, and those teams, by the way, you've got the Cardinals twice. You've got the Colts. You've got the Seahawks and Packers. Not easy opponents, but the schedule is such that you're not going to be traveling a lot. That's really where you need to make hay as a Niner squad.
49er fans, where are you going on your road trip this year? You got the schedule right in front of you. You even have an extra road game and road city to go to. I don't want to play the spoiler, but our next caller, Lori, she will be at the 49ers at Cardinals game on October 10th, I got to believe. What's up, Lori? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Yes, that's for sure. That's the thing I wait for the schedule is when it's going to be. A couple years ago, I wasn't able to go because it was on Halloween, and I couldn't leave my little ones trick-or-treating, so that was a little disappointing, but I definitely will be at this game this year. But to Dibs throwing a little bit of shade on upstate New York, you know, that's where I was raised. It's where little Lori learned all about football and life and became a fine contributing member of society. It's a great place to raise a family, so it isn't, I don't like that you're throwing a little bit of shade on upstate New York, so... And Syracuse is a great college to go to. So, but anyway, as far as the schedule goes, I don't see anything crazy daunting. It is. We do have a couple primetime games early, you know, that Green Bay and Seattle game. So hopefully there'll be, you know, no major flops there where they, you know, just aren't ready to go. But I think the two early games on the road there are good opportunities for them to pick up a couple of wins and then be ready to go. And then the bye week isn't an awful place. It could be a little bit further out, but at least it's not week four like last year. But yeah, I think 12 is definitely a good amount of wins for sure, you know, straight out of the gate and hopefully more. But yeah, I don't see anything crazy about the schedule.
Thanks, Lori. Appreciate it. And Lori's appreciate you setting up, sticking up for upstate New York.
I mean, you might as well be in the middle of nowhere. You might as well be in, you know, West Virginia, you know, Eastern Pennsylvania, yes. Western Pennsylvania, Southern Canada. I mean, just yes. A bunch of trees and not much else.
Go back to New York, Steinmetz. I'm from Pennsylvania.
Do you know how beautiful upstate New York is in the fall outside Schenectady and Albany? It is beautiful country. And
I'll never
forget
that autumn morning in Ithaca when I realized that there's nothing but strip malls and shedding trees. Not like the unique splendor and the nuance of California. I mean, New York's a nice little state. Quaint little state.
You know what they say about Ithaca, Dibs, right?
No, obviously I don't.
Ithaca is gorgeous.
There you go.
And it's a play on words, Dibs. And Kyle, you'll love this. There are gorges in the landscape. Kyle, acknowledge, please. You're a wordsmith. Thank you. You get it? It's like it can be gorgeous, like beautiful, or gorges, like the terrain.
New York humor.
I know you got it, Kyle.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's gold.
It never ceased to make me shake my head, though, Steiny. How many people, when I was in old central New York at Syracuse, would be like, hey, you going to New York City this weekend? Like it was down the street. Like I was going to hop in my car, and 45 minutes later, hey, I'm in Times Square. It's a party.
And what Nick's referring to is it's probably as far from Syracuse to New York City as it is from San Francisco to L.A., I think, right?
Yep. Something like that. Yeah, about five and a half.
Okay. All right. Oh, man. 888-957-9570. We're talking about the 49ers schedule. Dibs, when do you want to do the Marlins man thing? Like maybe 10-11 or 10 after 11, something like that?
Yeah, we could do it somewhere in there. Steiny, it's nothing, you know, just a way to look at other games around the league because there's obviously some games you're already looking forward to, some schedule spots and some unique visits. And I'd love to hear from people. You know, where do you want to go if you could go anywhere this year? 888-957-9570. Is there a stadium you'd want to go to? Because it feels like more and more fans are ready to get back out. Man. And, you know, tickets are being sold at various venues and capacities are slowly growing. So I think it's fair to start talking about, you know, dreaming and bucket lists and what game, what teams would you want to go to? So I put together my 1 through 18 list, Nick, my weeks 1 through 18. If I win the lottery this week and I walk off this godforsaken program, I'm going all 18 of these.
Dibs, I just thought that you would be all over Niners-Jags in Jacksonville. You get a little sawgrass in, like they cut away and we see you in the pool, in the stadium, like in the third quarter, just going crazy in the back. Like I thought that was a trip just tailor-made for you later in the season.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to Chicago that week. That's my week 11 spot, Baltimore at Chicago. I want to go for a good old-fashioned bruiser battle with, you know, getting a nice snowy day in Chicago.
I got to believe, looking at this schedule, that let's say there's 10,000 fans that every year pick a game to go to. If I saw this schedule, I would have picked up the phone so fast to get to this to book this city because I think it's the one that sticks out the most. And it's Nashville on December 23rd, guys. I mean, it's a Thursday night, and I know that because during the first break, I worked out what all the dates were. It's 2 days before Christmas. All right, 2 days before Christmas, usually that is what December 23rd is, you can get home Christmas Eve and still be, you know, at home for Christmas. And it's you can leave right after the Falcons game on Sunday the 19th, fly to Nashville, get there Sunday night, and you got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Nashville. And let me tell you, there's action. Big, big action.
There's a lot of action.
And then you go to the game Thursday and back to the city on Friday. That's the one I'm doing, and I'm sure I'm not alone. So let me tell you something about Nashville too, Niner fans. Go ahead and book those hotels now. Fills up. If you need a recommendation, I got a cute little spot about a half mile from the stadium I can recommend, though. Nashville. Nashville's also the team that should get the next NBA team or, hell, baseball team if there's any relocation.
A little too soon for you to talk about relocation of baseball
teams. Who's going to relocate in baseball?
It's preposterous, that notion. How dare you? How dare you intimate that a team would possibly look at another city in light of a decades-old stadium kerfluffle or standoff?
Well, I just, you know, just projecting. It'd be fun to see a baseball team in Nashville.
I don't like any of it, to be honest with you.
And can we get the Sonics back first before you start giving us, like, the Nashville musicians or whatever they would be?
That's true. What would they be? The Music Man, maybe? It's called Music City, obviously. Music City Miracle. But, yeah, that's where I'm going. Dibs, where are you headed? I know you got your 18 national games.
Yes.
But if you're a 49er fan, where are you headed?
Well, I'll give you the one of the Niners road games that's on my Marlins Man schedule just because of the very – just the gravity of the matchup and what it will mean by the time we get to December 5th and week 13 in the NFL, San Francisco at Seattle. Give me the rivalry, renewed rivalry with the Niners and Seahawks again, most likely both being good in the same year in a matchup that could go far to determine – what could be the most competitive division in the National Football League with the Rams better, Arizona's young quarterback is a wild card, and if Seattle can somehow keep that thing together up there and, you know, Carroll and Russ one last stand together, that's a formidable duo. In San Francisco, obviously, we all expect to be a good team. So I'm going with the chalk, so to speak, Nick. I'm going with the tried and true trip to Seattle. I got a lot of friends up there. Dave Softy Mahler's been on our show. We a little back and forth yesterday on Twitter. He's already ready to print playoff tickets. So something about the rivalry renewed has me excited for a trip to Seattle, and I love the city.
And that game is going to be awesome, as it usually is. And
right.
That game with fans, as we know, it's been so long. Dibs, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's like the return of the 12th man. And, not that – They ripped it off of Texas A&M, so we'll put copyright infringement aside for the sake for them being a great home crowd. And I'm excited for crowds again, and hopefully by December, knock on COVID-19 panoramic wood or pandemic wood, that we're able to get back.
Yeah, Dibs, one of the things that Nick and I have in common is we both covered the NBA, and so we've been to many, many cities throughout this great country, big cities, of course. And so because I've been to all these big cities around the U.S., for some reason I have an affinity to kind of second-tier cities. As you know, Dibs, when I drove cross-country, I hit places like Santa Fe and Tulsa,
yeah.
Nashville and Asheville. I must say I'm a little intrigued by the at the Cincinnati Bengals on 12-12. That would be December 12th. What's Cincinnati all alike? What's Cincinnati all about? I kind of like going into a city like Cincinnati for a few days, not knowing much about it, reading up on it, walking around the city if they have a downtown area. Cincinnati. I'm taking Cincinnati over Jacksonville as my number one choice in a second-tier city. Does anybody know anything about Cincinnati? Going once. Going twice.
I went to a Cubs game a couple summers ago before everything shut down, and there's a hell of a good steak place, Jeff Ruby's. So any Niners fan out there that's deciding, hey, I'm going to go check Cincinnati, go try that place because it was really, really good.
But yeah,
whole lot going on.
No Ohio in my history. No Columbus.
Wow.
No Toledo. No Cincinnati. None of it.
No
Cleveland. Come on.
What?
Cleveland.
It's the home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, dude. You're a big music guy.
Yeah. Cleveland, if I did my bottom five cities that I have no interest in visiting, Cleveland's in that bottom five, without a doubt.
How about Jacksonville? Anybody been to Jacksonville of the five?
Now, I have family there.
Okay.
I have family in Jacksonville.
Good, before I bury Jacksonville, it's good to know.
I feel it coming. Dibs heard Jacksonville. It's like,
I was winding up, Nick.
This
place
is done.
Are
if
they
you
mayonnaise
want,
mavens?
If you want a good weekend on the beach, here's what you do. You stay in Ponte Vedra for this game.
Of course.
You stay in Ponte Vedra. You go have some pina coladas down on the beach. You go play at Sawgrass. And then, up, there's a game at 1 o'clock. And you take a boat over and you can go see the Jags play the Niners and have fun for a few hours. But everybody wants to poo-poo Jacksonville, and I understand why, because there's not a whole lot going on. But if you want to go and do it right, you go out to Ponte Vedra, which is like 20, 30 minutes away, and then you come into the city for the game, and then you're out of there.
So the best way to experience Jacksonville is to not be in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's right.
So shame on me for the second time in the first 42 minutes. But, okay, so Jacksonville is on the water, I take it. But
oh, yeah, the stadiums, you can literally take a boat to the game.
Okay, okay.
Which is different.
That's, you got to, hey, boat to the stadium. That's a plus.
That's an absolute plus, as is the time of year, November 21st, yes. Niners at Jaguars. Having been to Tampa Bay when I was doing play-by-play, Bobby Fitz and I were doing play-by-play for the San Jose Sabercats, and, you know.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I famously forgot to bring my pants on the trip, so I had to go take a cab to Brooks Brothers in Tampa about 4 miles away.
What is going on here?
And Bob, I didn't have pants, even though I was doing radio, so I had to take a cab, and I stepped outside. I thought I was going to die in May in Tampa. It was a 90-90 day, Nick. 90 degrees, 90% humidity. And so your boy almost passed away, but Jacksonville in November, I'm in.
There you go.
Yeah, Steiny, if you're rolling the dice to me, having just done Cincinnati, forget Cincinnati, on the mid-tier, you're not probably going to go there a lot in your life. Go to Jacksonville, right. Have fun for a couple days, and then get out.
I think you might be right, because the weather's going to be better, probably. Jacksonville, 11-21, which is November 21, as opposed to Cincinnati on December 12th. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. Hey, the Golden State Warriors still have some important games to play, obviously, and last night in our league, which is coming up next, we'll explain what happened around them and where they're sitting in the standings. Also, more dissection of the schedule, because there is still so much to talk about there. It's all brought to you by MB Jesse Painting. Are you in need of quality painting? MB Jesse Painting offers the most trusted painting services in the Bay Area. Their experts have been helping the Bay Area for 25 years. Visit mbjesse.com for a free quote today. That's MB Jesse Painting.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Nick Friedel
on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Nick Friedel in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Last night in our league, coming up in a minute or two. Guys, I just Googled Alex Rodriguez, and after scrolling basically four pages through his response to J-Lo dating Ben Affleck again, deep and buried, he's just bought the Minnesota Timberwolves with a gentleman by the name of, what's his first name? His last name's Lore.
Mark Lore.
Mark Lore from Walmart. A-Rod is now an owner of an NBA team, Dibs.
It was a loosey-goosey era. twice popped for steroids by Major League Baseball. Dating starlets and now an owner in our league. Congratulations. That's awesome. And Dave Benz is probably stoked. Now he'll be rolling with A-Rod and the A-listers.
Yeah, hopefully. I'll tell you what, one thing I know for sure is when a new owner comes in, everybody gets a little antsy. Everybody gets a little antsy. Alex Rodriguez may have a favorite announcer. Why are we doing that to Dave Benz? There's nobody better than Dave Benz. I got a feeling A-Rod's not going to live in St. Paul, for example. What do you think, Nick?
I mean, Lake Minnetonka is pretty nice this time of year, though, Steiny. It can get interesting out there sometimes.
All right.
It just underscores how many people want to be involved in the NBA still. Yeah. People always get caught up on the ratings, the league's not in the same place. The amount of money that is still pouring into the league from various avenues is impressive. And for Glenn Taylor, who's owned that team for a long time, they've never really done much of anything since KG left, to get that kind of money for the Timberwolves just shows you if any of these other teams come out on the market, it is going to be a financial bonanza for these longtime owners.
Yeah, and you know, financial literacy is a big topic right now. And I think one of the things we're seeing is players have started to understand, and I don't know when it started, maybe with Jordan, that as much money as they make as players, the big money is in ownership. And that's why I think we're seeing A-Rod obviously doing what he's doing, Dwayne Wade in on Utah, Michael Jordan, obviously, the Bobcats. So A-Rod now owns the Minnesota Timberwolves along with a Walmart bigwig. Let's find out what's happening around the NBA because the Golden State Warriors still have some big games left.
Yeah, big games around the league, gentlemen, as we take a look at last night in our league with the 10th seed in the West still remaining unclinched and unquenched. In our headline, the Spurs nullified by the Nets.
Harden makes his move, splits defenders, and scores.
Excellent patience.
Ian Eagle from the Yes Network. James Harden, 18 and 11 off the bench. The Nets win at 128-116. Still no need to panic for the Spurs, though, right, Nick?
They're going to be all right, but this is, Dibs, this is what is going to be really interesting about the play-in tournament. The Spurs, who have been really bad here over the last few weeks, if they come in and get hot and win a couple games and then go, does the NBA turn around and go, maybe we need to tweak this one more time?
Yeah, and James Harden coming back for the Nets yesterday, Dibs, and he doesn't look like he's missed many meals while he hasn't played.
No, and always with the hamstring, you're kind of holding your breath every trip down the floor. No Kyrie, so the trio yet to play together in weeks. Game number two, Mavericks puncture the Pelicans.
Melly rebounds, and with that, it is over. Win number 41, 29 losses. Dallas back to 12 games over 500.
Mark Followill, Bally Sports Southwest. It was 125-107. Luka goes for 33-8-8. The Pelicans and Blazers tied for fifth, Nick.
Who would you rather have right now being in charge of a team? The Mavericks with Luka at the age he's at, or the Warriors with Steph and the age he's at?
I got to take Luka, but only because of the age.
Boy,
I thought you were going to go
Luka question.
Or Zion Williamson. Who would you rather have? But anyway, the Pelicans, changes are coming in New Orleans. You can't fire Stan Van Gundy. You just started there, but I bet you they're gonna reassemble.
Reassemble the pieces, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting to see if it's Ingram or Ball who eventually stays to play alongside Zion. Game number three, the Blazers jumble the Jazz.
McCollum keeps the dribble, now pulls up and scores again. CJ McCollum with 26, so he and Lillard have combined for 54.
Dave Pasch from ESPN, 105-98, as the Blazers keep pace with the Mavericks in the five spot.
Don't look now, but the Blazers are playing very well. And remember, Charles Barkley picked them to, I think, either win it all or come out of the West. And he looked bad, but that's a team I don't want to play, Nick, to tell you the truth.
Well, Lillard being Lillard and hearing everybody saying, this team is good, but they'll get bounced in the first or second round, like they almost always do. Portland still doesn't have that other answer, Steiny. And that's been the difference for years. CJ McCollum's a nice player. Carmelo's had a renaissance out there. They still don't have enough pieces to make you believe that they can really do damage. And all you got to do is look back to 2 years ago. The Warriors with no KD just sweep them out of the Western Conference Finals.
It could be a question of matchups. They are playing well right now in the regular season. Game number four, the Lakers ransack the Rockets.
And Brooks is going to get it right back. Leave it for Thomas. He can't finish. Lamb does work. Blocked by Kuzma. Kuz with a rejection.
Kuz with some big plays late. He had 19 and 10, 124-122. The final. That was Bill McDonald on Spectrum Sports. And gentlemen, BetQL.com had the Rockets plus 8.5 as a 5-star pick. Your boy took a little taste of that. Thank you, BetQL.com. Because I'll tell you what, Nick, the Rockets have been god-awful, but they competed. They're a horse. They fought hard last night to cover that number.
Whatever it takes to make it happen. They're still a joke, but they're maybe less of a joke than they were to start the season.
Dibs, the Rockets, they stink.
Yeah.
They stink.
Well, they covered.
That's all I got. That's exactly. All I got.
You play to cover the number.
That's true.
Hello?
You play to hit the ass.
That's a high... That's a highlight. Boy. That's a career highlight.
Boy.
Oh, boy. I'll say. Right. Game number 5, Steiny, we're throwing you a bone after we just slapped you across the face with your own drop. Hawks, hold off the Wizards.
Bertans back up top to Westbrook. Shot clock at 6. Westbrook to drive, goes inside, left-handed, comes up short. Here comes Trae Young. Young on the drive, corner, three-pointer, Collins, bang! John Collins from downtown, and the Hawks take a one-point lead. Timeout, Washington.
Oh, you know the bang. It's Mike Breen from ESPN, 120 to 116. Trae with 33, 8, and 8. Steiny, your Hawks holding off the Heat. They're the 4 seed right now.
Yeah, they are, Dibs. And after last night's win, I did call my good friend, Travis Schlenk, the general manager, and he's not that excited, to tell you the truth. But he doesn't get excited very much, Dibs.
So he's not pumped at being a 4 seed?
Well, they still got to win some games to stay in the 4th seed.
Yeah.
But you know him. He downplays everything.
What the hell was the problem with Lloyd Pierce, guys?
You know what's funny is I don't know. But that's a great question. I mean, we won't spend a lot of time with it, but I'll tell you one thing that's changed since McMillan came in is he's definitely played Gallinari more and featured him more, and Bogdanovich too. And those were the two big guys that were signed in the offseason. All right, so that's going to do it for our little NBA segment, although we're definitely going to talk Warriors as the show moves along for sure. That game against the Grizzlies, guys, Sunday has been moved to 12:30 p.m., and there's only one reason for that. It's a big game, Dibs. 12:30 now at Chase Center for the season finale, regular season.
That casts the Friday game in an even more, I think, curious, kind of odd light, because all of a sudden that's going to be a shorter turnaround as opposed to a traditional Sunday evening game where you'd have an additional 7 hours to get ready. So might that affect the way the Warriors approach that Friday night game? Because all eyes on Sacramento and Memphis for the next two. And then the Warriors turn around and they'll have an idea of where they're going to stand and how important that Friday game is when that comes up.
The other thing is, Dibs, as I look at the standings here, and I'll try to do it kind of off the top of my head. But right now, the Memphis Grizzlies remain a half game behind the Golden State Warriors, and they've played one fewer game than the Warriors, and they play the Kings twice. So right now, Dibs and Nick, if the Grizzlies win tonight, then they're even with the Warriors, and it ensures that Sunday's game is for the 8th seed. The only way that game can't be for the 8th seed is if the Kings beat the Grizzlies twice. The Warriors beat the Pelicans, which would give the Warriors a 2-game lead. I see Nick's eyes starting to droop, but that's the way it is. The only way that game will not mean anything is if the Kings beat the Grizzlies twice and the Warriors beat the Pelicans.
Right.
In other words,
it's
going to matter.
Well, you'll know before the Pelicans game too, Nick, where you stand.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
And that's the key, because if they take care of business tonight, Memphis does. Guys, Steve Kerr's no dummy. The Stephs and Draymonds of the world are not going to be revving the engines real hard in that Pelicans game on Friday night. It will all come down to getting prepared for the Sunday afternoon contest against Memphis. So I think that the Warriors, with the way the schedule has played out and the two big wins against Utah and Phoenix, I think they'd relish a little bit of a break and getting everybody in order to play heavy minutes on Sunday to make sure that you get that 8 seed so that you're not messing around with the 9 or 10 slots.
And what does that look like? Does that mean street clothes? Does that mean a sprinkle of light duty? What does that mean for Steph and Draymond? Because we know that, and the word is that Jordan Bell is going to be signed, and JTA's got a major bag alert, and Mannion and Smiley Geach will be fresh and ready to rumble. What does it look like for that Friday, though, Nick? Is it straight up DNPs for Steph and Draymond?
I think it would... knowing Steve Kerr, he'd say, hey, do you guys want to get a few minutes in?